Let me know when you're.
This okay. meeting is being recorded.
Okay, thank you. So we'll call the meeting to order. I don't know if you need to take attendance, but because I think you have everybody either there or visibly on screen. Is there anybody, numbers you can't recognize?
Nope, I have everybody. As long as the only individual in person is Lori, if anyone else comes in, maybe Pauline can just take a note of that to let me know if I miss them, but otherwise we're all set.
Great, thanks, Mark. All right, so is there any public comment? Hearing and seeing none, we will move on to approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes from January 12th, 2022?
Madam Chair, John Coleman, I move approval.
Thank you, John. Do I have a second?
Second, Lisa Thomas Coventry.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. From what I understand, we have no correspondence and handouts. And so now we will go over to the chair and executive director remarks and report. Mr. Hart.
Thank you very much, Mayor. And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's executive committee meeting. I have a very short report for you in the interest of time. I know we want to spend most of our time today on the proposed budget as well as our legislative update. There is a larger staff report attached to today's agenda. It's basically the same as what you received at your most recent policy board meeting. Happy to take any questions you might have on that. But what I have for you today, first of all, a reminder that the policy board, the full policy board, will meet on the 25th at noon. It will be a hybrid meeting, and two major items, business items on that agenda will be the approval of the budget based on your review and action today. And we are working to line up a presentation from Commissioner Boughton to speak to the administration of the IIJA, the federal infrastructure dollars. Also, our annual meeting, I know many of you have signed up, you know, very excited that we're going to be able to meet in person again. And we're going to hold our annual meeting on June 15th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. at the Farmington Gardens. Looking forward to a good crowd. And our keynote speaker will be Professor Mohammed Al-Qadri, very dynamic guy if you haven't met him. He's the director of UConn's new School of Public Policy. And he's going to talk about workforce development in Connecticut's public sector, as well as other topics that are really critical for our municipalities. And the deadline to register is the end of this month. So hopefully all policy board members and others, or at least a sizable majority, will be able to attend. And we're looking forward to a very productive annual meeting. Again, it'd be great to meet in person once again. And then lastly, I just wanted to give you a brief update on my activities, and I will elaborate on these in more detail at the policy board meeting in a couple of weeks. Continuing my outreach, getting to know the main players in the region. Obviously, I know many of you on the policy board, given my previous relationships, but I'm participating in Greater Hartford's Leadership Greater Hartford's Executive Orientation Program, which, you know, I've enjoyed over the last few weeks. It's really been a great introduction to many of the nonprofit leaders working in the city and supporting the region. I'm also spending a fair amount of my time on major projects and getting a handle on major federal and state grants, such as the IIJA just mentioned. Our Hartford Rail project, you know, where we're hoping to go there, what the DOT's plans are, working on the East Coast Greenway, the Hartford Mobility Study, our Waste Management Initiative, among our other major projects, and really trying to promote an emphasis on sustainability, resiliency, and economic vitality. And then lastly, working with the Municipal Services Committee and our staff to explore the possibility of expanding our portfolio of shared services here at CROG. Many of you responded to our recent survey. I want to thank you for doing that. And we're going to have some really good suggestions for the Municipal Services Committee to consider for the Regional Performance Incentive Program applications that we can submit to the state later on this summer. But even outside of those, that grant application, we think that there's some exciting potential here in terms of how we could expand our shared services portfolio, whether it's in economic development, building inspection, any number of things. So that completes my brief report for today, Mayor. Happy to take any questions that committee members may have.
Thank you, Matt. Are there any questions for Matt? You might have to give a shout out because I can't see everybody. Okay. I don't hear any. Oh, did I hear somebody? No? Okay. All right. Then we will go to number six, action approval of the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget. Mr. Hart, back to you.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would ask Laura if she could load up the presentation. Okay, so I'm going to present the highlights of the proposed budget for your review, and I have here with me today Pauline Yoder, Rob Eloise, and Cheryl Assis, who can assist with any questions you might have. Many of you are longtime members of CROG and are very familiar with how our budget is put together, and others of you are new. So I would note that CROG's budget structure is somewhat different from what you have in place for your municipality. A couple things that are notable. Number one, CROG does not have a capital projects fund or a capital improvement program, largely because we do not own any significant personal property, vehicles, et cetera. So just in terms of the highlights, you know, what guided our thinking in terms of putting together the proposed budget that's before you today? Obviously, we want to present a balanced budget. The budget does maintain current services and programs provided by CROG, but it also includes appropriate resources to help us implement the new federal infrastructure law and other new initiatives that might be important to the board and to our executive team. For example, as you may know, we are recruiting an IJA coordinator position to assist us in preparing quality applications to the state. And depending on our work at the Municipal Services Committee level, if we decide to expand our portfolio of services, you know, we will be able to provide resources to do that as well. The budget does maintain the current due structure. Want to note that as well. No increase for our member towns. Next slide, please, Laura. Some additional considerations that we need to keep in mind for this year, and this relates to federal infrastructure and programming dollars, first under federal highways, under the IIJA, we will likely receive an increase, and it could be sizable in terms of our planning funds. So we may, you know, it could be approximately 20%, and we may need to amend the budget at some point during the fiscal year. And obviously, if we need to do that, we will give you sufficient notice. We have included a contingency table later on in the presentation that demonstrates this. And the federal infrastructure funding could have other positive impacts on our future revenue and expenses. So just a couple of additional considerations I want to highlight. Laura, next slide, please. Here's a quick snapshot of the proposed budget of roughly $8.2 million. And you see the revenues at a little over 8.1, the expenditures a little over 8.2. Now you may be thinking, why don't those two numbers align? You know, in my municipality, that those numbers would need to align. That is not necessarily the case at CROG. We are expecting a deficit of approximately $326,000 in our CAPTAIN program, a long-term program that is winding down. So we will be able to absorb that deficit of approximately $326,000 from the fund balance. So that explains the differential in part that you're seeing between the revenues and the expenditure line. Next slide, please. Here's a quick snapshot of revenues and expenditures in total. And as you will see on the revenue side, the vast majority of these revenues is coming from the federal government in terms of direct aid programs, et cetera. And this is pretty consistent with recent years. So you see the federal revenue at 61%, 25% coming from the state, and local dues at 10%, the other category at 4%. And then you see expenditures by category on the lower part of the page. Salary and fringe benefits here are a smaller share of the budget than what you would see in likely in your town's budget. And that is because a lot of what we do, we're taking in those federal infrastructure, those federal grants, and they are used for contractual support, consultants, et cetera, that it help us to administer those programs and handle those very important projects. So you'll see here, grants and contractual at 51% on the expenditure side. Next slide, please, Laura. Here's another overview looking at the four main expenditure categories that we have: planning, municipal services, public safety, agency-wide. And you can see how the numbers break down. The largest portion of the budget being dedicated to planning, and this is consistent with recent years at almost $5 million. And that's on the revenue side. You see the revenues on the top half of the page and the expenditures on the lower portion of the page. Next slide, please. So now let's take a look at those departments more individually. And this is just a quick snapshot of each. First of all, the regional services grant and our administration. And you can see revenues at approximately $1.3 million. You can see the bulk of those revenues coming from the state as well as local dues. On the expenditure side, you can see how the numbers break down in terms of personnel expenses, direct costs, et cetera. Next slide, please. And this is, again, planning is the largest share of the budget for the upcoming year, and this is consistent with recent years. You can see the revenue again, the majority of the revenue coming from the federal government, state government, some local dues. On the expenditure side, you can see how it breaks down between personnel, contractual, various projects, et cetera. The third major category is public safety and homeland security. Again, revenues and expenditures on the left-hand side of the page. The vast majority of the revenue next year coming from the federal government at approximately $1.5 million. And you can see how the expenditures break down. I would point to the homeland security projects of approximately $565,000. You know, that's some very significant monies that we're receiving and administering for those important programs. Moving on, Laura, to municipal services. This is a much smaller portion of the budget in terms of revenues and expenditures, but as you know, provides some very, very important services to our member towns, including the Crumbling Foundations testing program that we set up a few years ago to assist those towns in the eastern part of our region. So that's just a very quick tour of our major programs. Now I want to talk about fund balance, long-term net income, et cetera. So some fund balance information for you. You can see here's a snapshot of our major funds that we have. And these fund balances may strike you as very significant, especially on a percentage basis. Some of these, a triple A bond rated community, would love to have fund balances on a percentage basis along these lines. But I would note that CROG's budget is different because it can change quite significantly from year to year. For example, we could receive a major federal grant that would increase revenues and expenditures in quite a sizable fashion. So that fund balance would not appear as significant in that situation. The fund balance also helps us to absorb potential losses in revenue. If, for example, we needed to provide a local cost share for a major new initiative, it just gives us flexibility to react to changing conditions. So you can see the projected fund balances for the end of next fiscal year for each of our funds, the general fund through the regional fund. Next slide, please, Laura. And we're wrapping up. Just a couple more slides and we can stop for Q&A. Long-term net income, this is a exercise we engage in each and every year. I want to credit Pauline for her good work on this. This is an effort to plan ahead and project certain things because our revenues have been somewhat volatile in the past. In recent years, they've been more stable, and we are projecting stability in at least the next few years coming up. But we always prepare a worst case, a likely scenario, and a best case scenario. And we tend to budget at that likely scenario in terms of our planning. And if we're fortunate to receive additional revenue from either the federal or state government, we can adjust accordingly. And then the last slide I want to touch on is our contingency tables. And recall the additional considerations I highlighted at the beginning of the presentation. We may be in a fortunate situation where we receive additional monies coming from the state, either in the form of the regional services grants or the federal highway funding. So this shows how the revenue potentially could change. So looking at the top half of the page, the regional services grant or RSG, what was adopted in the state budget is that figure of approximately $849,000. There was some potential for it to increase and maybe as high as $1.6 million. We'll see if that comes to pass. And if it does, that will give us additional resources to help us administer IJA in turn and other projects. And then down on the lower half of the page, you see the federal highway grant. Again, what we budgeted is the $3.1 million. There could be an increase of approximately $512,000. And if that comes to pass, we can gladly accommodate that as well. So that's a very quick overview of the proposed budget for next fiscal year. I certainly want to thank our staff, most notably Pauline and Rob and Cheryl for their hard work in putting this together. But virtually the whole team, as you know, similar to your municipality, there are many, many people involved in putting the proposed budget together. Tracy Malafant and others, and I want to thank them for their good hard work. So happy to take any questions you might have, Mayor. If the executive committee is comfortable with the proposed budget, we would ask for your endorsement to bring it to the full policy board.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. Are there questions, comments on the budget from anyone?
This is Peter Souza. If I could,
thank you, Mayor. Peter. Yeah, go ahead.
Couple, just mainly refreshers for me. The captain, that project. That what's the fund balance? Does anyone have that handy? The fund balance in the captain's account.
The projected fund balance for the end of this fiscal year is $1 million on that account, and then after next fiscal year, it'll be $770,000.
And that program is winding down, if I understand Matt's comments. How long do you think that has for it to run its course? Is that any projections?
Why don't we turn to Cheryl for that question? Thank you, Peter.
Sure. Peter, we're anticipating likely at the end of next year, so a little over a year from now. As you know, many towns have moved to various different CAD RMS systems, and those systems have the report writing features and other features that the Captain system provided. So when it was rolled out back in the late 90s, it was definitely ahead of its time. And at this point, you know, it's served a great useful purpose, and we're winding it down.
So basically, end of 23 and the 24 would be completed?
Yes. All right. That's the expectation now. And there may be a couple of towns that are still wanting to participate. So we'll be working with our vendor, Telepartner International, and those towns. We'll be working with them specifically to find a path forward for them, and we'll accommodate them in any way that we can, obviously.
Thank you, Cheryl. I have one more question, if it's okay, Mayor.
Of course.
The grant, the DPH grant that was hospital preparedness, what's the length of that grant life cycle?
Sure. Right now, we're finishing up BP3 of that grant, which will end in June, and we have two more years in that grant. It is important to note, Peter, that when we started that grant, it included all of the hospitals as well as the 14 health departments and districts in our region. However, the state took over the hospital piece last year, forming a healthcare coalition at the state level, and that piece is being managed by Yale. So we no longer receive the money for the hospitals.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. That just jumped out at me at about $160,000 expense level. But I assume those expenses go away once the grant period ends?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you,
Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Are there any other questions or comments?
Madam Mayor, I move approval of the budget as presented. John Coleman, Bloomfield.
Thank you, John. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Peter Souza.
Thank you, Peter. Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries to recommend this to the full board. That was pretty smooth. All right. I think back to you, Ms. I don't know. Actually, maybe we're going to the legislative update, and we have John Harkins here to share with us.
John. Thank you, Mayor, and hello to all the board members. I'm here today with Chris Smith from Rome, Smith & Lutz. Unfortunately, Kathy cannot be with you today, so we're here to give you a general update, and certainly if you have any questions, we'll get the information to you as soon as possible. So we had an interesting session this year, despite the fact we have rising fuel costs, inflation, and an economy we have yet not seen coming out of a pandemic. Our state was awash in cash. And this year was one of the shortest sessions we've ever seen, where it started on February 9th and we ended on May 4th. And for the first time in about 25 years, they actually didn't meet the Saturday before their deadline on Wednesday, which means they had a budget deal in place. And they were looking to get the budget approved and get the bills passed, which were priorities, and probably go on campaign, actually, for the summer. But they got out of Dodge early, and it seemed like it was a pretty well-managed session. The some of the highlights, I believe you have already, that was sent. It was the end-of-session report that should have been distributed to you. So the state budget that they passed was approximately $24.2 billion, and it passed the House 95-52. And it passed the Senate 24-12. Some of the highlights of the budget was a property tax credit up to $300 for eligible Connecticut residents, a permanent reduction in the mill rate for motor vehicles from 45 to 32.46, inclusion of $125 million to provide a $250 child tax credit per child for a year, the elimination of pension taxes for retirees, which of course has income limits, so it doesn't apply to all citizens, only those that are fall below the areas cited in the budget. It also incorporates $10 million for student loan relief. Approximately $40 million is included to increase the earned income tax credit. to 40.5%. The contract standard board will receive full funding. And the budget includes funding for nonprofit organizations, which was a big deal for a lot of nonprofits in the state of Connecticut. A total of approximately $2 billion was dedicated to the state's pension fund, and approximately $40 million is included for the unemployment trust fund. Also, the state employees, which was a little bit of a controversy with the budget, but the CBAC agreement was approved, and that was a $374 million agreement with state employees to increase salaries and bonuses. And something that's important to you is when you deal with your unions, your municipalities and towns, this will certainly be a benchmark that the unions will probably be looking at and saying, the state got this, what about us? So with that, if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to entertain them at this point.
Thank you, John. It was pretty quickly done, and there seemed to be a lot of agreement. And I agree with you, there are going to be some challenges, some wonderful things in here, but some challenges too. So anybody have any questions or comments?
This is Chris Smith. Not a question, okay, but just to tag on to what John said, I think, you know, there was a great encapsulation of the high level of the budget. I do want to also point out that there was a lot done this year in a very haphazard way on education issues and early childhood issues, some of which probably have an impact to the education side of your budget. This is my 21st session, and I think, working under the Gold Dome here, and there was a lot in terms of education this year, and there's still some question marks that remain after they adjourned, including special education funding, which I understand for a lot of you does have an impact on the local budgets, not necessarily on the town side, but we know how those kind of interact with each other. They instituted a tiered system, a revised tiered system for the excess cost grant. And my understanding, based on some recent conversations over the last couple of days, is they might have made an error in that might require some legislative tweaks and fixes as to not have unintended consequences. So we at the firm are still pulling together some of the education specific stuff to send you as an addendum, in case that's of interest. So we're actively working on some of that. Because of the sheer volume of it, we haven't completed it just yet, and there still are some open questions, but we hope to have that to you soon. And I would also add, just from a political standpoint, the legislative session process is starting to look a little bit closer to normal in a post-COVID world, but not quite. Last year was entirely shut out to the public. It was conducted almost entirely virtually. This year started off similarly, but began to open up during the House and Senate floor debates, where the building was open partially to the public. The reason I bring this up is because a lot of what we do on your behalf and behalf of all of our clients is making sure that the legislature knows, who we are, what we do, what our priorities are, and we advocate for those. What has been a challenge over the last couple of years is a large freshman class of legislators who, up until the spring of this year, really didn't have the experience of having advocates and lobbyists and other organizations like us in the building. Couple that with the large number of retirements this year, we'll probably be looking at a General Assembly that could have as much as 40% new members between the freshman class this year and the freshman class next year. So that, I think, does, we do have our work cut out for us in making sure that new folks are educated about who we are and what we do. And I think all of you in your roles as, local officials, I'm sure you're in contact with your delegations, and that's certainly a help. But that's just something to be aware of as we approach, the upcoming elections and move on to the next General Assembly session.
Thank you. That was helpful insight, Chris. No question. There was also the school ventilation. There was something I was keeping an eye on. Do you know how that, or can you explain, update us on that?
Having not prepared the detailed summary, I can give you my, I might want to just preface this by saying I'll follow up if I have any of this incorrect, but that started off with a push from the teachers unions, and there was some pretty onerous requirements that were included in the bills that were introduced on the HVAC issues. That was watered down substantially. I think it did accelerate some of the reports that are required. I think it also required a designation of a staff member to do some type of reporting. I'll have to double check on that to be exactly sure what that framework looks like. They also added some bond funding into the package for purposes of indoor air quality. And they also made eligible, which wasn't previously, HVAC upgrades, certain HVAC upgrades under renovation projects. Previously, those were only covered under the school construction program for new construction. They expanded that to include renovations as well. So hopefully that provides a little bit of a pressure relief valve on the capital budgets for your local boards.
Thank you. And the ACS, you'll get back to us, obviously, on the error. And that was a little bit of a, it was a complicated formula that was made more complicated. So,
And Mayor, full disclosure, I was referring to the excess cost grant, not the
excess cost.
Special ed.
But
ECS, though, that also was something that largely they left a lot of that unchanged, but that will certainly be a topic of discussion going forward. Jeff Curry has a education cost sharing bill that didn't receive passage this year, partly because the provisions wouldn't go into effect until fiscal year 25 anyway. So I fully expect that there'll be a lot of discussion on that in the upcoming session as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry for that mix up. All right. Any other questions, comments? Doesn't appear to be. All right. Other business?
Thank you.
Mr. Hart?
Thanks. No other business today, Mayor. Just thank everyone for their support of the proposed budget. We'll look forward to bringing it to the full policy board in a couple of weeks. And if you haven't signed up for the annual meeting, please do so. We look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. And I guess if there are no other comments or we would receive a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Madam Chair. John Coleman.
Second.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Lori. And stay healthy, be well. And all those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. Enjoy this beautiful day.
Bye. Well, be safe.
Thank you,
Mayor.